So good morning, all of you beautiful, beloved people. I wasn't planning to share, and I'm not sharing, and you'll be grateful for that. But my heart skipped a beat when you shared Exodus 33:12. That verse has just touched me. Lord, if we found favor with you, Lord, show us your ways. And when Alexander said, you know, do you want to share something? And he always graciously asked me, and I always graciously say, no, I don't. But that is something that I would have shared. It's, Lord, show this beautiful church your ways so that we know you and we can love on you even more. And how do we do that? Well, Psalm 133 comes to mind for this upper highway vineyard. You're getting upper and upper and upper. You're getting there, guys. It says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So when you're living in unity and harmony, expect the blessings. Expect that beautiful oil of the Spirit just to seep over you. And that'll be my ongoing prayer for you for Upper Highway. I've got to keep saying that because I kept saying, oh, it's Church on the Hill, is it? But it's Upper Highway Vineyard. Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my sweetheart. Let me read the text that I'd like to speak from, and then I'll make some preliminary comments first, and then I'll explain what's on my heart from the text. And then when I finish speaking, we're going to be laying hands on Andrew and Veronica and Zolani and Mpumi, and then also the transition team, laying hands on and explaining as a very holy act before God, a consecration, a setting apart for the new chapter of this further journey. And then we will seal it all together by breaking bread together and having communion as a church. And then we will go wild afterwards with streamers. I don't think I've ever been in a church where they have streamers ready waiting for everyone. So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to get my video camera out. But the text that I want to speak to is from Mark chapter 1, the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verse 14 down to verse 18. So if you want to read with me, you are welcome, and I must just check the time. So Mark says this, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into the Galilee, proclaiming the gospel, the good news of God. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe this good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said, come, follow me, and I will make you or form you to fish people. Not fishers of men, but there are women around too. I will form you to fish people for the kingdom. So at once they left their nets and they followed Jesus. So let me come back to this, but just the first a few preliminary comments. This is a great day. This is a very important morning. And we are, Jill and I, are honored and privileged to be here and represent the broader Vineyard movement. So Dave and Colleen Pedersen, who lead the vineyard in South Africa, are in Quabecha. I can't get the click right. And they send lots of love. And Brett and Leanne Nixon-James, who lead the Morningside Vineyard in Durban, and the broader team here in KZN of the Vineyard, we represent them being here this morning. And it's our honor and our privilege just to share God's word and to pray for with the laying on of hands to acknowledge and recognize what God has already done by bringing together two congregations. So I, in my ministry experience over the years, I've presided at the burial of a church and the resurrection of a new church. Valley Vineyard was, we buried the name and the identity and had a celebration service, and we raised up a new name following Jesus when Jill and I led an existing church, but with a renewed sense of vision of a new chapter of the ongoing journey. And here we've had the privilege and honor of walking with Sarepta Church, whose leaders a good while ago registered with Vineyard the intention to become a Vineyard church. And we began to walk with them in the journey, and I met with Zolani every now and then. And then also, equally, almost at the same time, Church on the Way also registered with us the intention to explore becoming a Vineyard church. And in that process of mutual exploration, the two church leaders began to dialogue with each other, and this is the end result. David and Michelle have very graciously and wonderfully facilitated a process with a team from Sarepta and a team from Church on the Way called the Transition Team, and they've gone through all the processes, all the legalities, the vision, the values, the way things can work. And there has been a real fundamental joining of hearts with a sense of conviction and consensus that this is God. And therefore, to bury Sarepta, to bury Church on the Way, and to raise up Upper Highway Vineyard. You know, in God, with Jesus, whatever dies rises in a new form. I mean, I always think of the words of Jesus, except a grain, a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it rises and it produces much fruit. And this is the death and the resurrection of two churches in a new identity, with a further chapter, a new chapter of an ongoing journey. So I just want to say, first of all, I want to honor, I'm very conscious, we're in a facility that is the result of a 50-year journey with Sarepta, and honor once again Jonathan and Jane Leach and the leaders of Sarepta who've proved faithful over the years for many, many years. And we honestly, we celebrate what God has done through Sarepta. And we're sitting in part of the result of the vision and the faith. Equally, we want to honor what God has done with Andrew and Veronica with Church on the Way. And although it's not been a 50-year journey, it's been a shorter journey. But I've known these guys for years back, and we were talking this morning of when we first connected back in, I don't know, 2011 or thereabout. But just to say, we celebrate both journeys, but now we let go and we place before the Lord and we bury and we rise with a new identity for a further journey up a highway vineyard. And in terms of the vineyard and our privilege to walk with you and to journey with you, a few words that I need to share with you about who we are and what we believe God wants to do here in this journey. So I had the remarkable privilege and honor given to me by God to work with John Wimber in 1982 for 8 months in Southern California as in a kind of internship. I became an Assemblies of God pastor in 1975. That's before some of you were born. And the younger ones may think, yo, that guy comes out of Noah's Ark. But so I've been in ministry since 1975. So January, 20th of January, This next year, it'll be my 50th year in full-time paid ministry. So it's a bit of a journey. You learn a few things as you go along. So I met Lonnie Frisby as an Assembly of God pastor in 1979. He preached in our church and all heaven broke loose. And through Lonnie, I then met John Wimber and felt I needed to resign from the AOG and go and work with John and learn about the theology of the kingdom. Because when John Wimber came to South Africa and when I encountered him, he was really essentially about who is Jesus and what is the kingdom that he brought and how can we express Jesus and the kingdom in and through local church. So we build local church around the king and the kingdom, not around our denomination or our own tradition or our own pet theologies, but around the king and the kingdom. And so I just want to say, John Wimber had a phrase where he used to say, what are we about? We're simply about the king and the kingdom. And Jesus, as the king of the kingdom in John chapter 5, said, although I am the Son of God, I do nothing on my own initiative. Only what I see my Father doing, that's what I do. Only what I hear my Father saying, that's what I speak. And so John used to say, we are simply about seeing what the Father is doing, hear what the Father is saying, and incarnating that in the way we live our lives and in the way that we do church. We are not here to ask God to bless what we are doing. We are here to bless what God is doing. And you know, we believe God has done this. And we believe we're all sitting here this Sunday morning as a result of what God has done. And we just simply are here to honor, recognize, and bless what God has done and what God is doing. Because this is His initiative. And the other thing John Wimber used to say frequently, he used to say, the whole plan is in the heart and the mind of the Father, which is the plan of love. That for God so loved the world that He gave, which He implements and incarnates in and through His precious Son, Jesus, who lived and died and rose again to bring the kingdom. And then he used to say, so therefore, as Paul says in the New Testament, Jesus is head of this church. This church is bought with His precious blood. It does not belong to you elders. It belongs to Jesus. He's the head, and He's going to hold you accountable for how you have led this church. Because it's His church bought with His blood. And if Jesus is head of this church, Upper Highway Vineyard, you know, the head is the government that coordinates and directs the entire body through the autonomic nervous system that communicates with every last cell of the body. And Wimber used to say, if Jesus is head over the church, the Holy Spirit is the administrator in the church. If Jesus is Lord over the church, the Holy Spirit is Lord in the church. The Holy Spirit brings the mind of Christ, and we must be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled people. We are a spirit church. So then Wimber used to say, we give Jesus, we honor your headship over this church, and we give the church back to you. Because He stands in Laodicea, at the church at Laodicea in Revelation. He stands at the door and He knocks. He says, hey, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and have supper. And He was talking to a church. The church had organized Jesus out of His own church. And Jesus was standing outside of His church and knocking and saying, hey, let me back in. It's my church. Give me back my church. So that is the heart and the sentiment of my encounter with Wimber and the Vineyard and joining up, is that really we want to say, Father, we honor your great plan of love. Jesus, we honor you as the head of this church. Holy Spirit, we honor and receive you as the administrator of the church. Triune God, dwell among us and do what you do best. We are here simply to follow. to see what you're doing, to hear what you're saying, and work with you as best we can in your kingdom come. That's the heart and the essence of it. So having said that, let me just refer to this text and keep on time. I must tell you that the transition team briefed me very carefully on our experience this morning. So I'm a very disciplined pastor. My wife knows that I preach very short sermons. Wink, wink, say no more. When she tries to keep me on track and I'm preaching and she says, time out, then I know it's time out. But when she waves her calendar, then I know. Ooh. But dear friends, this text in Mark, for me, summarizes the essence of what we're doing here. And I trust what Upper Highway Vineyard in essence is and will become. Because this is the generic message that Mark introduces at the beginning of his gospel that Jesus preached and taught wherever he went throughout Israel 2,000 years ago. For 3.5 years, Jesus preached and taught. And his message was very simple. In essence, in summary, it is the kingdom of God has come. Therefore, repent and believe this good news of kingdom come, so that you can enter the kingdom and participate in what God is doing with the king in his kingdom. And when Jesus announced the message of the kingdom, and you know, historical Jesus studies, so I've written a book on a portrait of the historical Jesus that is called It's Know the Real Jesus, which essentially is distilling the academic literature, which is vast on Jesus research, the Jesus of history, into who really was that man, Jesus of Nazareth, 2,000 years ago, who came, was born in Israel, and within his socio-political context was unbelievably radical and revolutionary, announcing the message of God's kingdom. And that Jesus who brought the kingdom is what the entire good news, the gospel, is all about. And we're not here for ourselves. We are here for the king and the kingdom. And John Wimber, having heard George Aldrin Ladd and others at Fuller Seminary in Southern California, who were teaching the kingdom theology that actually came from German theologians in Europe after the post-World War II. But essentially, the message is the kingdom of God has come near. So we, the vineyard, is about the kingdom, the pursuit of the king and the kingdom. How do we live out the essential character and nature of Jesus and his core values and his vision of the kingdom of God in and through local church for the sake of the community God has placed us in? And not only this community, but also South Africa, and also Africa, and also to the uttermost parts of the earth. Because the vision of the king and the kingdom is always the whole world. For God so loved Hillcrest that he gave his only begotten son. No, for God so loved the world and Hillcrest, which is part of the world. Or rather, Gillets. Are we technically in Gillets or Assegai Road or Hillcrest? Okay, well, we're from Salt Rock, you'll forgive us. Ave gritum, sanctum, blessum. So the first point is that it's about the king and the kingdom, which is the good news of God to humanity. It's the hope of the world, the king. The vineyard is not the good news. The kingdom of God is the good news. We are simply trying to live the king and the kingdom in and through local church as best as we know how by God's grace. As we listen to the Holy Spirit who brings to us the mind of Christ, and we are spirit-led under the headship of Jesus. So then the next thing that Mark says is when Jesus announced the message, he went around calling people into his kingdom movement. He said as he walked, he saw fishermen. Those were the first people that he came across, and he said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of people. So just to close off, the three essential core elements of the kingdom and doing kingdom community as Jesus teaches it. He says, come and follow me. That is to repent and believe. Put your faith in Jesus and what God is doing in and through Jesus. God is becoming king. Put your faith in him and join up and follow him. Jesus is a moving master. All local churches, if they're following Jesus, are on a journey. The minute you start becoming static and saying, we've arrived, we've done it all, we are the best thing since Jesus came, we're the bee's knees, then, of course, you've lost what God gave you in the first place. We're all on a journey. Come and follow me. And then I will make you, and I change the word make into form, because it's the same thing, and I don't have time to explain it. There's a whole book coming out of this, of basic apprenticeship to Jesus. Follow me. I will form you to fish people. And as a good vineyard pastor, I've got to have three alliterations. Follow, form, and fish. But essentially it means this. Intimacy with Jesus. Follow me as I follow my Father. Pursue me as I pursue my Father, and I'm intimate and one with my Father. I only do what my Father initiates. My whole life is led and initiated by my Father through his indwelling Holy Spirit. The highest value in the kingdom of God for local church is to follow Jesus, is intimacy with God. So that's worship. So then he says, if you follow me, you will be formed in and through my community. So when he called fishermen to follow him, then he called Simon the zealot to follow him. And Simon the zealot was like a right-wing Jewish nationalist who was willing to kill Romans and send them to wherever they were going to go to liberate the land from Roman oppression. He was literally a freedom fighter. Then he called, you know, Matthew the tax collector to follow him. And if you look at Jesus' community that he called to follow him, they were the opposites on the ideological spectrum of the right wing and the left wing, of the rich and the poor. Well, the first thing is that Simon, when he followed Jesus, he met fishermen hanging around Jesus, and he had to pull up with the, he had to put up with the smell of fish. You know, simply to say, when we follow Jesus, we join his kingdom family. And you don't get to choose your brothers and sisters. God puts them there in order to irk the hell out of you so that he can get the heaven into you. You know, you can choose your friends, right? We can choose our friends, but you don't choose your brothers and sisters. You know, Helga, Elizabeth Tickle Schiele, born in Berlin, Rathenau, Berlin, before the Second World War, survived the war, came out to South Africa after the war and met Federico Jacobo Venter, born in the Argentine from the Afrikaans community that didn't want to live under the British and the Anglo-Boer War and went there in 1901. So my mom and my dad, Federico and Helga, they met each other. And then they winked at each other, and this is the result. Well, first Angelica was the result, then Jürgen was the result, and then Alexander was the result of my mom and dad winking together. So Jürgen and Angelica didn't have a choice. I just arrived on the scene. In family, with brothers and sisters, you've heard of sibling rivalry? You know how God has designed people to grow up to maturity, both biologically and spiritually, is that you're born in a family and you live in a family and you are trained and grow up to maturity in a family. Then when you're 18 years old or 20 years old, then you let loose on the world, and then God help the world. Once you let loose on the world. But if it takes 18 or 20 years biologically in God's creation design from Adam and Eve to be born into relationships, by relationship, for relationship. And it takes 18 years of formation through the love of your mother, your spiritual mothers and fathers, and your siblings in the body of Christ to grow to maturity. How much more spiritually is it the same? So we follow Jesus in community for the world. Follow me, intimacy. I will form you. That's formation in family to fish the world for God. And that's the mission. Intimacy, formation, and mission. And mission is to change this world for God's sake. Because people are suffering and dying everywhere around us. And God's community of the King and His kingdom. We are the instrument of the kingdom to bring change and hope and salvation to the dying world all around us. Church is not an entity that exists for itself, by itself, but we exist for those who are not yet here. So Archbishop William Temple, from the previous century, Anglican Archbishop in England, was well known for the phrase that he used to say repeatedly, the church is the only organization that exists for its non-members. We literally, if we follow the King and His kingdom values, we exist literally for those who are not yet here. Those are all those out there around us. So that's essentially the point. We as a Vineyard Church are about the King expressing the kingdom in and through local church. The core values is follow Jesus, the pursuit, the passionate, intense pursuit of Christ-likeness, intimacy with Jesus. Formation in community. We form community and we are formed in and through community and equipped to be Jesus in the world out there every day so that we fish this world for God. It all exists for the world. We exist for mission. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for God so loved the world, He gave you to the world. Those are the three core values. Upper Highway Vineyard, welcome to the kingdom of God, the King and the kingdom, where we just put on, the way we try to express the King and the kingdom is certain clothes that we feel comfortable with, which we call vineyard. But actually, we hold it lightly. It's about the King and the kingdom. And we're going to have a journey together. Myself, Brett, Nixon, James, with the leaders and the transition team to explore and deepen our sense of belonging and co-journey as a Vineyard Church, to the point where hopefully early in the new year we have another celebratory event like this, where we are other Vineyard leaders will be present, and you are fully recognized and blessed as journeying with the family with ordained Vineyard pastors. Because again, we don't ordain too quickly, as Paul says, don't lay hands on elders too quickly, but walk the journey and see what God's doing. And when you come to that place of conviction, then you fully recognize and fully release and fully bless. So that is my message for this morning. And what we're going to do is, first of all, ask Veronica and Andrew to come up. And Jilly, will you come up and join me? Oh, by the way, I just wanted to point out this. I brought this book along, Doing Church, and I wanted to mention it at the beginning and totally forgot. But with my 8 months of working with Wimber after his death in 1997, I had the privilege of writing this book about how we do church from a kingdom of God theology with kingdom lenses or a kingdom paradigm. So if anyone is interested in terms of Vineyard and our philosophy of ministry and how we do church, this would be a basic, simple textbook. And I'm just bringing it to your notice and attention, not because I had the privilege of writing it, but because I believe it's an important text if you want to find out more about what I've spoken about this morning. Guys, will you come and stand up? And Jilly, will you come with me? So, we are laying hands on Andrew and Veronica to lead the Upper Highway Vineyard. And just a brief nuance for everyone's awareness is that we're laying hands on Andrew as the team leader, or whatever phrase one uses in Vineyard. We use the common phrase team leader or senior pastor. as the one gifted and called to be the overall team leader. And obviously, Veronica, in terms of her own gift mix and calling in God, expresses it alongside and with Andrew in the community of faith here. So maybe you want to say something briefly about your own personal passion, and then we will lay hands on you.
Thank you. So I partner with God to creatively resource ministries, people, and events for kingdom advancement and kingdom purposes. So really what that is I just love to come alongside people who've got a vision from God. I love to see them resourced. I love to see them equipped. I love to see God work in the midst of it. And I have the privilege of working with Mfundi and Michelle. And we, just a little short testimony, we had 10 people. We were planning for 15. We had 19 people rock up for our second lot of training. So when God is in something, I tell you, it is so exciting. And so I love being alongside people who have a vision and need resources. I love to see them come alive. I love to see God work. And that's where I come alive. So it is just a privilege to be able to use what I have for the body and to see them accomplish kingdom purposes and advance.
Sure, how do you keep up with that? Yeah. My calling really is to fearlessly lead people to live the adventure of living a naturally supernatural life. Passionate about just seeing people come alive in God, finding their purpose, finding their calling, and just like the puzzle piece, and just to quote what John Wimber with the Vineyard is, everyone gets to play. I want to add, everyone's valued and everyone gets to play. So really just to see a body come together as one and to function well. Each part is doing what God specifically has designed you for, and to find that calling. Because the world wants us to become alive, and we want to be a church that's alive, passionate, and filled with His power. Yeah.
Well, should we pray? We lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. And in the laying of hands, we set you apart as the overall team leaders to lead this church, the Upper Highway Vineyard. So in the transition team discussions together with Vineyard, it was agreed and recognized that Andrew should be appointed as the team leader. And we'll pray for Zolani and Mpumi just now and explain. But this is an important laying on of hands to say we set you apart to lead the team and to lead the church. In the name of Jesus. And we speak upon you right now the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the charismata that you need to do what God's called you to do. God's dream and God's purpose for this church in its ongoing development and journey needs supernatural gifts and graces to bring it into its fullness and fulfill God's preordained purpose. And we bless you with these gifts needed for this part of the journey. Receive the mind of Christ by the gift of the Holy Spirit and do what's in God's heart for this church. In the name of Jesus, we bless you and we impart to you and receive it now. And we say that whatever God has given us, Jill and I, in the journey of the kingdom and in the journey of ministry and leadership, we impart to you and we give to you and even more. And you guys go further than we will ever go. We bless you. We bless you and impart to you all that you need to do what God's called you to do. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you.
Yeah, just to echo, I feel the passion that's in both of you. I mean, your physical bodies are warm with the love of the Lord, and I pray that you'll passionately pursue His purposes for you. We just bless you with a radical, ravishing love to know Him more. Yes. I bless you with that, a ravishing, radical love.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Is a hug in order? Andrew, God bless you. Zolani and Pumi, won't you guys come up here? Maybe, should we just pull this back a bit so that we have space here? Let's stand in front of the pulpit, not beside you. Come stand here. So again, Sarepta in the journey up to this point on the 8th of August had a vote. Everything was explained. The transition team kept updating, and the decisions have been made that Zolani works together with Andrew as his closest colleague, his associate. And again, one always looks for language to describe what actually is going on. So if Andrew is the team leader, Zolani will be the associate pastor, working alongside Andrew. And just be aware that Zolani has been saying, I think you all are aware, for 2 years, both to me and Vineyard, as well as internally, is that his passion and his heart ultimately is in mission out there. And although Zolani is not going anywhere, Zolani and Mpumi are staying. They're working in the church alongside Pumi and Zolani, working in the church alongside Veronica and Andrew, and will work together as co-pastors leading this church. But with a growing focus, slowly but surely, outwards into the valley to equip the church to turn more and more outwards for evangelism and mission into the valley, so that they advance and extend the kingdom, because ultimately that's the call and the passion on his heart. And one last nuance, and then I'm going to ask Zolani and Pumi perhaps to say some words, is that again, equally, you don't get a two-for-one package. By that I mean, we must recognize gifts and callings are individual and not automatically couple. So if we're laying hands on Zolani as an associate pastor, we're not making her the pastor's wife, where she has all the pressure and expectations of the congregation to perform outside of her gift mix that causes stress and strain. Mpumi has her own gift mix and calling, and she will serve in this church in the work of the kingdom as God has gifted her, without the pressure of expectation that she's got to perform like him. So we're laying hands on them individually in their own right, but just know, here is the associate pastor working alongside Andrew. You want to share your...
Yeah. Thank you. You all well said. I just want to say congratulations to Andrew and Veronica. We are so pleased to work with you guys. It's really an honor. It wasn't for us, but it's for God to do that. And we want to give glory and praise to God as well. And I just want to say to you first, there is something that they do in South Africa, so help me God. And then they put their hands on top of the Bible. And then we just wanted to say it's not about us, it's about God. Amen. For him to be glorified, we are here because we want to serve him, and we are not going anywhere for him to be glorified. That's why we are standing here. And again, we are really looking forward. No one will perish out there without us reach to them. And that's what the scripture says, that everybody needed to come to know him. And because the world is falling apart, and that's why we want to get out there, and for the poor or the richer. And again, I want to say thank you so much as well, that we have among everybody that in this place, that we are higher and lower, but we are all same in the eyes of the Lord. It's nice to be able to work along with everybody and to actually to see his name be glorified. I think I've said much as I could, but so help me God.
Hallelujah. Sanbonani. Yeah, I think Zolani has said most of the stuff. Like Alexander was saying, for the king and the kingdom. I was so humbled by what the Lord has done, even throughout the process. There is a song that says, see what the Lord has done. What we've been praying for has come to pass. And he has done great things through the transition team. Thank you so much, guys, for... What we have just seen was an act of obedience all over. And the Lord has promised us that when we abide by him and listen to him, he'll make us to be fruitful and multiply. So that's what we believe in this move as well. We say thank you, God, for a peaceful and a graceful transition. It can only be through him. For his kingdom, we saw people being obedient in such a way that they were willing to lay their ourselves down for His kingdom, for His kingdom. So it's not about us, it's for His kingdom. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers and support.
Thank you. Why don't you guys come and lay on hands? Just also to say, Zolani and Mpumi, I need to say to you, and I'm sure the congregation that was led by these dear people and this good man over the past couple of years, we need to honor them and say thank you for their faithful service. Zolani, as the senior pastor of Sarepta Church, you served faithfully and you served well, despite for you points of challenge and discomfort, but you have served well, and we really want to say thank you and we honor you. But we know the journey continues.
Thank you.
So let's lay on hands and let's pray.
You pray then. Yeah, Father, thank you for your two faithful servants, Father. Thank you for the grace that's upon them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, and I sense the Lord saying this is going to be far bigger than they realize, Father. You're going to cause their influence to go far and wide, Lord. You're going to cause even those deepest, darkest valleys to be reached because your Spirit is upon them, Father. We just pray, Lord, in this new season, just for your continued grace, Father. And thank you, Father, just for the refocus that you in time, Lord, will show clearly your strategy. That he'll be able to, Zolani will be able to see, I can see what the Father's doing and I'm going there. Yeah. So Father, we thank you for the grace upon them and thank you just for their faithfulness in this last season. And in that, Father, will be promotion in Jesus' name. Lord, we just honor them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and again, we also, Zolani and Mpumi, laying hands on you, we impart to you the graces of the Holy Spirit that you need to do what God's called you to do in this season, not only of your personal lives, but within this community, the Upper Highway Vineyard, with a focus increasingly outwards to the valley. God knows your heart. God's planted his kingdom passion in your heart, and we bless it. We recognize, Lord, what you've done in their lives. Thank you for Mpumi's worship, her gift in worship. Thank you for all that you've given to her and that you are doing through her. And we say more, Lord. Let it come. Let your Holy Spirit fall upon her. Increase her capacity. Increase the anointing upon her. You too, Zolani, in Jesus' name, we bless you. We bless you with all that God has in store. In Jesus' mighty name. And we receive you in the vineyard. I know you've journeyed with us already for years in the vineyard, and you've been in our conferences and even in our training center. But we bless you, honor you, and recognize you. Zolani and Mpumi, we love you. We respect you, and we thank you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Mpumi, give me a hug too.
Thank you.
So, we are. No, stay here. No, hey, Shwena, you're going to stay here. Stay here. Stay here. Stay here. And you guys got to stay here. Stay here. So, would the Broodraks please come up? David and Michelle and the transition team that worked with them in the process, what we have been through that has led up to this point, this Sunday morning. Would you all come and stand up here, the transition team, together with us? So it's the leaders that were appointed from the Sarepta side, the leaders from the church on the wayside that journeyed for 6 months in regular, intense dialogue, facilitated by the gifts of David and Michelle in a most wonderful, expert way. So we just want to lay hands on this team, because just for your awareness, to register here publicly, that this team that you see before you will continue to work together with the two lead couples to lead the church, past the church, for the next journey until it's appropriate and the right time for a new eldership to be appointed. so that there's an interim continuation of the journey for stability and security. And then when the right time comes for a new eldership, as in a biblical criteria eldership, to be recognized and appointed, then that will happen and this team will then step back. And again, Andrew and Zolani, if I'm articulating it wrongly, please correct me. I'm subject to correction. I am known to get things wrong every now and then. But have I said it correctly?
Yes.
Have I said it correctly? So we're going to lay hands on everyone. But before we do, we just also want to say special thanks, David and Michelle, for your selfless service, your generosity of time, energy, and money in facilitating the team. And just on behalf of Dave Pedersen, Brett Nixon, James, and myself, who are the like Vineyard extended or translocal leaders engaged in this process, I have not experienced a preparation, dialogue, and transition towards a union of congregations as skillfully and well done as this experience of these two congregations becoming one. And because of the selfless servanthood, plus the real gifting and skill and experience that God's given these people. So honestly, David and Michelle, we honor you. We really appreciate your work and your investment. And here's a little minute token of a thank you to you guys. So although they were facilitators of the transition team, they will remain journeying with the team until the time that things change in terms of a recognized core eldership that's appointed. So let's so Andrew, Jilly, Zolani, and Pumi, come stand here. We're going to just pray for these dear people. And again, just to say, and if I had to now go through all your names, I probably am going to be caught out. But guys, thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithful service in walking the journey and the commitment to engage, dialogue, process, and make decisions at the right time. We, again, don't take that lightly. We honor and respect you, and we thank you too. And I think it should be really on behalf of all the people here. So we want to lay hands on you and bless you for the next part of the journey until things then undergo another shift. You want to say anything further, or should we just go for it? Okay, let's lay on hands. Zolani, maybe you should lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you for these people, for the selfless that they wanted to see you being glorified. So, Father, we just pray a blessing over them. We pray for their honor and for your glory. Nkulunkulu akekho njenganawe wena unecebo phezu kwempilo zabo. So, namhlanje siyakhuleka ukuthi Nkulunkulu, we want to see your name be glorified. We pray for as we lay their hands and pray that you give them strength and the courage and the wisdom ukuthi bakwazi ukuthi babhekane nezimpi abazohlangana bezana nabo. So, we pray a protection over their family. We pray for ukuthi ubaguide ubanike as the wisdom as siqhubekela phambili. Lord, we thank you ukuthi ni usuba sebenzisile, and we want to say thank you, Jesus, for what you have done with in this time. And we pray for your name that will be glorified through them. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you have amazing way and the gift that you have imparted in each and individual of them. So we want to say we celebrate and we want to honor for what you're doing, and we want to give praise for more of the stuff that you'll be doing. But Father, we pray that we may not move without the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be revived umoya ingcwele uqhubeke ububule njalo empilweni zethu uNkulunkulu esilida abantu bakho. So we ask ukuthi njengamanje we pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit ukuthi iqhubeke njalo ngaso sonke isikhathi. Moya ngcwele siyakuthemba ukuthi uyasebenza empihlakalweni. So we ask ukuthi from the transition team you will be at work, Lord, as you've been, and we want to say thank you in advance in an amazing way. Father, akekho njenganawe, there is no one else, but we want to say, Jesus, we love you. We love you for what you have done. We love you for what you'll be doing. We love you even when we go through to the struggles and where we don't know what to overcome, and we want to say there is nothing that can change us in the love of Jesus. Bless them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much, everyone. Appreciate it. Yeah, bless you. Thank you, David. Thanks, Michelle. Zolani, if you could maybe help me, let's just move this back.
Yes.
And then if we could just pick up the table, as Jesus said, pick up your table and walk. let's bring it in the middle. This is a test of the leadership strength of this church. Put it back. Yeah. Jilly, won't you come and stand with me? So, folk, just to seal this happening this morning together, our celebration and consecration to the Lord as Upper Highway Vineyard with appointed leaders, we are going to break bread together. And in the breaking of the bread, very simply, Paul's theology in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11 is that we have become one loaf of bread because Jesus, who was one body, was torn to pieces, that we who are all scattered, bleeding, separated, torn pieces, can be made whole in the one body of Christ. So the breaking of the bread fundamentally speaks about the unity of the body of Christ, in which we find healing from loneliness and isolation scattered out there like the dry bones of Ezekiel chapter 37. So it's a symbolic celebration. We are one and have become one under the headship of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And the blood symbolizes that. Jesus said three things. The blood, which is the new life of the new covenant, the seal of the new covenant for the forgiveness of your sins. So in doing this, we're just affirming us being family. What I want to ask you to do, Jill's going to pray for the bread, the blessing over the bread, and then the blessing over the grape juice. And we're going to do it differently this morning to again embody the symbolism of family and unity, is I'm going to ask you, maybe as a couple, to come up and take some bread and some grape juice and go to another couple or another single person and to break bread with them and to say, this is the body of Christ given for you, and eat together, and this is the blood of Christ for you. So that we have, it's communion this way, but essentially also it's communion this way. And by sharing communion with each other, breaking bread. And you can break bread 3-4 times. It doesn't matter. So if you finish with one couple and there's still time, break bread. But Andrew and I will watch the process. And when it's coming to an end, we're going to call everyone to order, have a celebratory song, and blow the streamers and lift the roof. So won't you pray over the bread?
Lord, how grateful we are to have the privilege of standing together and remembering you as you were with your disciples on the Passover meal. And you said, this is my body. You said to the disciples, and as we remember you, we think of the very precious words, this is my body, which is broken for you. And Lord, how we are so privileged, and with such deep gratitude, take this body and remembering you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You do that. Okay. So Lord, again, thank you for your shed blood on the cross, which is the finished work of the eternal sacrifice done once and for all our sins. And we're part of your family in a new covenant in your kingdom, symbolized here in your blood. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. We drink it in remembrance of you. Amen. Come to the table of the Lord, take bread and wine, and go and break bread with someone. And let's have communion with each other as we share together. So let's hold this.